Os Chaf says the Heilige Piyazetz the Rebbe. Kim'at shegamarti b'libi b'fnei shvu'ayim shelo lehispalel od al arichas yamim. It's a strange way to start a piece. I basically came to the conclusion that I'm going to stop davening for old age. Because sometimes a person makes the false assumption that as I get older, while there's obvious physical difficulties and there are sometimes mental difficulties and a person's vision gets weaker and their hearing gets weaker, etc., etc. But mistama, it probably gets easier to not have such big yetzer haras and I can't chase after all sorts of nonsense. But when I'm young and energetic, I have the ability to pursue. He says, but then I came to the realization that that's not true. That a person can grow old, and not only can he have the Yetzer Hara he had from his youth, but in fact it can get worse. So to be old, and to have all the other struggles of old age, and to combine them with the possibility of Yetzer Hara actually getting stronger in old age, he said, that to me, if that's the reality, then it's not getting old is nothing to look forward to. Because it's not old age for such a person, a punishment of sorts. Now he's going to go on to describe again a very sad situation. It's similar to what we saw in the lengthy piece in Oz Dalet, when he spoke about certain people coming to him and telling him about their struggles. Kol yamav chasid haya. He's talking about a specific person. He said, I was, counseling a person, I was speaking with a person. His whole life, he was a chassid. Vizor ba'atzmo k'yeser chaver of ha-chassidim b'nei gilo. And he did all the chassidish zachin that's appropriate for someone, again, in accordance with his chaver and his age, whatever was appropriate at the various stages of life. But then a very strange thing happened. U'kishaba l'shnas ha-shishim, achzo yitzro b'gerono. When he turned 60, the Yetzer Hara grabbed him by his throat. V'yitilau el beis hakisei. Mamish el beis hakisei. When he turned 60, all of a sudden the Yetzer Hara got the better of him, and he literally threw him into the toilet. Literally into the toilet. Now again, obviously, literally doesn't mean literally. It's hard to pick him up and throw him. Didn't throw him into sewage, right? But it means it's not like this guy, as he got older, had a little bit of a yirida. Things that his whole life, based on his chevra and based on his surroundings, he was able to be in control of, when he got older, something snapped. And all of a sudden, he started doing the most horrible, disgusting things that his whole life he had never done. Vayatavua v'holeich sham. And now, he's drowning in it. Lo shana v'lo shnasayim. Avkashaya kvar ben shivim ba'arba v'shivim v'chamesh. Shanim. It started at 60. He says, but it wasn't one of these things like, okay, sometimes just get it out of your system and then I'll be normal again. 60, 70, 74, 75. This person's still going and he's mamish drowning in it. He's involved in all sorts of very repulsive behaviors. Rahman al Itzlam. And what's even scarier, it's even more frightening, is that we can lie to ourselves for so long that this guy considers himself, one of the Zikna Yisrael, an alter chusid. Muzer hu be'einai, it's so strange to me. Knowing what he's involved in, how does he not see it? How do we allow our minds to kind of be split in two? That there's the part of me, like, who I want to be and who I am some of the time, and then there's the part of me that is just so foreign. And why does that not, why are they not connecting? Why is that not resonating in like a very strong way? How am I able to live this double life? And it's so strange to me, says the PSS, that he considers himself an old chassid, an alter yid, when I know he's involved in all sorts of strange and repulsive behaviors. Va'im zikna kazu lios shakua bezuama vituma adlamala meirosh. So an old age like this, where a person again is immersed and swimming in filth, to the point that it's above his head, Rachmanu Litzlan, Le'echol chorav lishtos meimei raglav. He's using very graphic and really kind of gross descriptions here. Right? That this guy is literally, but he wants us to realize that like this stuff's not a joke. The choices we make in this world actually matter. He says this person's involved, he's literally swimming in sewage. He's eating excrement and drinking urine. Again, not literally, but that's what his life basically is. It should be as obvious and repulsive for a 75-year-old man to have the desires or being involved in whatever behavior this fellow is involved in, and to deceive himself into thinking he's a chassid nonetheless because he grew up in a certain environment. Is this a life that anyone could desire? So the Piyaz Esther says, knowing this reality, old age is not something that necessarily we should long for. O rekavon b'sheol tachtis v'din shel tzor o tachasi asher nimasena v'chimetachav keshes mimena nanus. He says, is this a life that a person should be rotting in Gehenim, that he's going to have to come to a judgment where he's sitting in fiery excrement, which should be so repulsive to him, which he should want to run away from. And again, he's choosing this life. This is not his punishment after 120. This is the life that he's chosen for himself. So what are you doing? Like, what's... And to think, again, what the possessor is teaching us is that to think that it just disappears on its own, to think that a person's not always in a state of nisayon, your whole life is... Right, the famous Perish of the Rav, which is so true to Rav Soloveitchik, the way he was. The famous machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban about when is there a mitzvah of tefillah d'oraisa? Is there a mitzvah of tefillah d'oraisa b'chol yom? Or is the concept of tefillah, as expressed by the Torah, only in times of crisis? So Rav Soloveitchik put the two together, being the neo-Kantian philosopher that he was. He put the two together and he said, if you realize that your life is always a crisis, then there's a mitzvah, tila, b'chol yom, midaraisa. If you, what do you mean my life's always a crisis? Yes, on an existential level, your life is always in crisis. You can be a 75-year-old pervert like this guy he's describing here, who imagine that, oh yeah, I'm gonna grow out of it. A person has to work on himself. You have to work on your machshavos. You have to work on your actions. You have to work on the things that come out of your mouth. Eima ayoma tiradeni. He says, great trepidation comes over to me. And again, I'm shaking, I'm terrified. Ribono sha'olam, gam l'chios, gam l'hizdakin sakanahi. Such a strong line. God, did you make life itself a nisayon? Is being alive, period, a nisayon? Again, we'll say, like, oh, this is a nisayon, and this is sakana, this is dangerous, and this is spiritually harmful. But is just being an old person a sakana? Because that's terrifying. I would hope that when I'm just like an old guy, I'll just, you know, I'll sit and I'll read a book or something. That's if I'm not religiously inspired. But is it possible to become this? Hashem, that's a terrifying thought. That life itself is a sakana. That old age is itself a sakana. I think I mentioned to you the other week that I heard a Rav say that life is in Nisayon. Everything's in Nisayon. Everything's in Nisayon. Being alive is an isayon, right? Food is an isayon. For some people it's more of an isayon, for some people it's less. Right? Different types of taivas. For some people it's more of an isayon, some people less. But everything is an isayon. Everything's a sakana. Every moment of life, again, is an existential crisis which requires tefillah, the araisa, that you need to converse with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you want to make it past any stage of life. Kvar harachnu, bottom paragraph. I've already spoken at length about this elsewhere. But I'll review Bekitzer here. And I think, again, he may be, I have no idea, but he may be alluding to his Dalit, where again he spoke about kind of rooting out the, not just treating the disease, getting down to the core of the problem. Not just treating the symptoms, getting down to the root of the disease. So it could be that's what he's referring to. That was a long piece in Os Dalit. So he says, I already spoke a lot about this, but Bekitzer, I'll just review some things as it's Nogaya now. Shekol ish matzav kedushaso v'taris midosav. And it's good, the last week of Shovim, this is a good piece for us to learn. That every person, the matzav, the place and the situation of his kedusha, v'taras midosav, and the purity of his actions and his character, beruach hagvura asher lo talui, depends upon his fighting spirit. Depends on what degree a person wants to work on himself. His point is, and again, he's using this old man as the mashal. It's not a mashal; it's a real tragedy. This person, right? But he's using this as the paradigm of the reality that he's trying to express, which is what? That it's not going to go away on its own. There's nothing in the spiritual world that you're going to acquire without effort. Yagati umatsasi tamen. Person says, I worked hard at something. Megillah daf vav. I worked hard at something and I acquired it. Then believe such a person. A person claims what? Lo yagati umatsasi. I didn't work hard. And I was matzliach. Al tamen. Don't believe him. Is he a liar? The Imre Emes said, he's not a liar, but it's not going to last. He thinks he's achieved. But if lo yagati, if you didn't really work on it, and you just had like a quiet day where the Yitzhahara didn't bother you, and you're like, oh yeah, I don't have the Yitzhahara anymore. It's going to come back when you're 75 years old, God forbid. Again, bottom paragraph. I've spoken about this at length elsewhere. That every person, his kedusha, his tara, beruach hagvura asher lo talui, depends upon, again, his willingness to fight, his spirit of gvura. Mida achas shel yitzhahara yechol yimatzei b'shnei b'nei adam. You can have two people with the same yitzhahara. V'zei kovsho v'asheni nichvash v'nofel chas v'shal. One is able to suppress the yitzhahara, to defeat the yitzhahara, and the other one is stumbling. And Hashem looks into their hearts, and Hashem says that you have the same desire. Exact same desire. We can't assess. But Lamashal, imagine such a thing. Two people, they have the same degree of struggle, and one is winning the battles, and one is not. So why is that? Zeshe yachol is'am yitzbruach gvura, v'lemor adon ani la'atzmi. That's really the name of this piece. Adon ani la'atzmi. That's in three words, summarizes this piece. Am I going to be master of my own existence, or am I going to let myself be controlled by the Yitzhahara? Am I going to take bailus? Am I going to take control of my life? Am I able to say, with strength, not in some wimpy voice, but to say to the Yitzhahara, Adon ani la'atzmi, I'm in charge, not you. Kovsho, that's the one who will be able to suppress and defeat the Yitzhahara. V'asheini b'lev novel v'nefesh kamusha, kashal olis gabrel kol taiva kala v'nichshal. But the person who approaches b'lev novel, remember the Rechaim from last week's parsha, Nabol Tivol? Yisro says to Moshe Rabbeinu, the person who is weary, who's worn out, who might even convince himself that he's putting up a fight, but he's not really fighting. He's kind of just like, as a formality, saying Yitzhara, like, oh no, please don't, not again, Yitzhara. So that's not fighting, that's not going to win, you're not going to get anywhere like that. And you're going to stumble with what? A taiva kala v'nichshal. You'll stumble in little things. Ezehu gibor ha-kovesh es Yitzhara. Pirkei Avos, Parak Dalet. Who's the person who's truly strong? Real gvura, the person who conquers the Yitzhara. Haba ha-talia. Again, these two things are dependent upon one another. To whatever degree you fight, you'll win. And to whatever degree you're passive about it, you will lose. And it will not go away on its own. Ragibor b'kalach gvura kovesh es Yitzhara. Lachein kasher mizdakin ha-adam v'ruach gvura so nechlash. So what happens if you don't develop a fighting spirit? And what happens when your body, again, like you spoke about in Osdal, it gets physically old, and you don't have the strength, you don't have the internal strength anymore, because you haven't built up spiritual muscles all those years. So now you're an older person, right? And you're a little bit weaker overall. So kashalo, yoser lis gabriel yisro, becomes that much harder for a person to fight off the Yitzhara. V'chol amidaso hi shegam yitzo nechlash oz im chulshas gufo. And the only hope that he has is that, you know, maybe if I, as I get older and weaker, as I'm not able to chase the Yitzharas anymore, maybe the Yitzhar will stop chasing me. Avalem yesh umlal, asher b'chulshas gufo yitzor lo nechlash, v'lo tikein es yitzor b'vachuraso, b'bacharuso, v'sukan hu b'ziknuso lipo, yoser me'asher b'shacharuso. But this is somewhat of an empty hope, that sometimes the body gets weak and the Yitzhar doesn't. And guess what? Now he doesn't have the strength to fight because he wasn't attacking himself when he was young. And therefore the Yitzhahara of old becomes even more threatening, he says, than from what? From Shacharuso, from his youth. Lachein kamosh lo dai lo la ish lis naig bovad b'chasidus rak sheyaseh gam hu chasid. So he says it's very nice that this guy identifies as a chassid. He walks around in chassidish shalavush, and people look at him and probably say, "Oh, look at this! You know, this alter chassid. What a role model, right?" But the Rebbe says, "I know what he's up to. I know exactly what he's up to." So it's not enough for him to what, at least naig bilvad bechassidus, to have some chassidish minhagim in his life, or to even dress chassidish, or even to daven out of a certain type of sitter, or to wear a particular type of tefillin. Actually, yaseh gamu chassid. You have to be a chassid be'emes. To work on that. Veloshi is naig levad bekedusha. Not that a person should again be nohig certain things that are shayach to kedusha. Raksha gam hu yiskadesh. Turn the verb into a noun. Become it. Don't just have a shayichus to it. A shayichus to chassidus. Be a chassid b'emes. Don't have a shayichus to kedusha. Be kadosh. Kamosh etivanu kedoshinu. Viskadishtem. Vegam v'yisim kedoshim. Like the Torah itself tells us what? You should be involved in sacred things, but you should become kadosh. Kadoshim tiyu. It's a promise also. It means that if you work on it, you can do it. Kadoshim tiyu, Rashi says. That it was said to all of Klal Yisrael. It's not only for Yechidei Skula, but it requires a lot of work to get there. Ken gam lo dai lo lesgabru bavadal yitzo rak gam le asoz gibor. Again, it's not just enough. Just like it's not enough to act chassidish, but you have to be a chassid. And it's not enough to have a loose connection to the concept of kedusha, but you have to become a kadosh. So too. It's not enough to just what? It's not just enough to just sometimes wage battle against the Yitzhar. You have to become a warrior. You have to become a gibor. Become the embodiment of gvura. Become it. Lios adon al atzmo. That's what he says again. To become the master of what? Of your existence, of yourself. Velibo b'rishu, someone to have your heart in your control. Behold, Rabbi Yisrael Kacha, lo bi isurim levadam. And in every matter, you have to work on this. Not only in pushing away isurim, aflo betaybos harishus levadan. Not only with things that are aser, not only with things that are taybos rishus, mutter things which are not ideal in terms of achieving great holiness. Rakol davar bekirbo. We're talking about everything, every aspect of your life. You have the right. We sometimes forget, but you have the right and responsibility, is maybe even a better way to say it, to be in charge. Every thought. Why are we so casual about it? Why do we assume that our thoughts are just like, they just flow and they just go? What, are we trying to gather our thoughts? Am I trying to make it that the words that I say are the words that I want to say, and the ideas that I think are the ideas that I want to think, of the actions I do are the things that I want to do? Or am I being dragged along, schlepped along through this cesspool by my Yitzhara? So he says, again, I'm not just talking about not doing Averas. And I'm not just talking about having a little bit of a holiness that I don't give into, permitted pleasures that I'm just, indulging for not really any elevated reason. Rakol davar bekirbo. Me'atzbo lo yispael. A person should not have spontaneous responses. Me'atzmo, on its own, it shouldn't be yispael. It shouldn't be you hear a noise and your head turns. After all this farm, they have medayik, an interesting psukim by the Avos. We had one yesterday. I'm trying to think, where did we have one yesterday? I saw one yesterday, I almost mentioned it. Wasn't in the piece. What did we have? It was in one of the Maariv Makomos. But you find in Tanakh by Tzadikim, the Pasuk says what? The Pasuk says that the tzaddik, lifted his eyes and he saw. That's like very big kavana, to lift your eyes and to see. Not to just, respond instantly. By the Bali Musa, every move was calculated. And again, if we believe what Rabbi Nachman writes, we read what Matal Chernobyl writes, we read what the Tzaddikim write, that every time a Jew moves his body, it's shaking the olamos. Right? You become like very self-conscious, of course, when you're working on this. Now, like, I'm moving my hands and I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Is there a reason I'm moving my hands this way? Okay, you have to be normal about it. But the point is, my hands were given to me to use as I see fit. And my brain was given to me to use as I see fit. And my eyes were given to me as I see fit. And just because something's before your eyes doesn't mean you have to see it. He lifts up his eyes and he saw two separate steps, the Pasuk describes. He raised his eyes. And then he chose to see. Because it's possible to look at something and to not look at something. B'ez Esther himself, in one of his other Sfarim, talks about that. How a person could be walking down the street and you could see something and not see it. That's a very high level of self-control, obviously. But again, that's your right, and that's your responsibility. That me'atzmo lo yispal, that you don't respond because you hear a noise. Someone who became one of the great Bali Musar himself once came to one of the great Musar yeshivas, and he was sitting in the back, and he was biting his nails. And I think it was in Slobodka, and the altar of Slobodka said, "You in the back, new bachar in the back, stop biting your nails." And he said, not a single person in the room turned their head to see who the Rebbe was calling out. Normally, you say, like, "Hey, you over there, what?" You hear the door slam, everyone looks up. That's because we're like dogs, you know? Like, we hear a noise and we like start barking. Right? And we like turn towards it. That's a sign that we're not working on ourselves. It's not impossible to be more in control. So again, me'atzmo lo yispal, not to be on autopilot. Lasos oshalo lasos, ledaber af lachshov, to do or not to do, to say something, to think something. That's your domain, that's your reshus. Adon ani la'atzmi, I want to be in charge of my life. Rak pekudas ugzeres ha'adon, the master decides what's going to be, and you're the master. Atzmuso ha'gozer yispal velo zulas. You decide what moves you, what motivates you, what causes you to respond emotionally, again, to act on something, to think something, to say something. You choose to respond, not something that happens on its own or from some outside source. And if you accustom yourself to this in your youth, and you strengthen yourself to be in charge, then even as the body gets old and weak, you've trained yourself that I'm in charge. Even as the body gets weakened, there's still an understanding who's the Baal Bas, who's in charge. And then you'll be one of those, you know, old generals who's still walking around, right? And he's wearing his decorated uniform. And you're thinking like, oh wow, this guy could probably not win too many wars at this point. The guy's, you know, slapping around with his walker, right? But he holds himself to be a general. And he is. Bamis, he is a general. He is. He's able to wear that. He's able to, yis atar, he's able to gird himself and to wear the general's uniform even in old age. Because that was something that he earned in his youth. So that's the opportunity that we have to take charge while we can. Not to deceive ourselves and think, oh, it'll deal with itself eventually. Right now it's too hard, and eventually it'll deal with itself. Both not true. Right now it's not too hard if we try, and it will not deal with itself. It will not take care of itself on its own. In the back of the Chovos HaTalmidim, the Piyaz Etzner has a little section that's called Sivuyim Vazharos. Sivuyim Vazharos, it's coming around. It's printed usually in the very back of the Sefer. Advice, things to work on, you know, kind of like bullet points of things to try to practice. Okay, so take a look. Tzivuyim v'azharos. Tzivuyim v'azharot. The first arrow on page one, this is the Piyaz Etzner himself. He says, Gam tiruf hamachshavos, ubilbul hamoach b'tfila v'avoda. When a person feels, on page one by the hour, when a person feels that his mind is what does tiruf literally mean? Where do we have the word tiruf in the Torah? Taruf, taraf, right? Literally, torn to shreds. In a million pieces. One of my favorite things ever is a quote that I saw from, what's his name? Rybelsky. Rybelsky was the Shiva of Torah Das. Rybelsky was an unbelievably unique Talmud Chacham in many, many Mikzoas HaTorah, real expertise. One of the Gedolim at the OU before his passing with Rav Shechter, Shlita, Bodo L'chaim. And I once read an article from Rybelsky, and he was describing the feeling of being. Now again, his Taruf Taraf was not based on a lack of working on himself. It was just that he was needed in so many different areas of Torah, and he had such an expertise in the technology and in the medicine and in the breath of Torah, and he was called upon by many different institutions in many different ways for his expertise. So he said, he described, and it goes back to what we learned in the Orach Chaim, the Navol Tibol, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu trying to take on more than he could handle. So Belsky said he remembers when he was younger in Camp Torah Vadas, in their summer camp. He said one Shabbos they only had one watermelon. And he said there were about 120 campers there. You can't have Shabbos lunch or Friday night, whatever the minhag is in different camps. You know, we gotta have watermelon at some point on Shabbos. It's minhag Yisrael. So he said they only had this one watermelon. They couldn't get another watermelon. It wasn't enough for all the campers. So he said that they sat down and they sliced up the watermelon into 122 little pieces. And they made sure that everyone would get a little taste of the watermelon. So Rybelski says, when I think about that watermelon, he says, I sometimes feel like that my life's kind of like that watermelon. Like sliced into so many little pieces. And it's hard. It's hard when a person feels that they're so scattered. So sometimes we're scattered because we have a lot of demands, a lot of responsibilities. I have a large family, and I have a job, and I want to learn Torah, and I want to help out my community, and I want to be involved in a lot of different things. So yeah, a person can be scattered because he's involved in a lot of good things, like Rybelski. But sometimes we're scattered, tarof taraf, we're torn to shreds. We're like a watermelon that's been sliced into 122 little slices because we're not gathering the pieces. We're not trying to keep it together. We're not trying to create a larger slice of watermelon. Sometimes our brain is just sliced to shreds, right? Pieces, torn apart in tefillah, in avoda. I can't think for a second. The second that phone buzzes, I can't get away from it. How good was Sunday, right? No distractions. Couple hours of just, there was nothing else in the world. We're just, so sometimes a person feels ripped apart. Rov pamim in heder hayegiyahin. Look what the Rebbe says. You know why? You know why? Most of the time it's not because you're a Veltz expert in everything and you're being called upon by 1,000 institutions like Rybelski. Most of the time it's because you're not working on yourself. It's because you're not trying to get, you know, whatever it is that's invading your tefillah out of your head. Not working on, you're not even aware that you're davening. Because one thought flows into the next thought. Like we saw the other day, quieting the mind. How does one quiet his mind? And one thing, just again, compounded, compiling one on top of the other, one thought to the next thought. My mind is like a raging river. No one's even trying to stop the flow. You're not trying to be in control. You're not the Baal Bayis. Not even pretending to be the Baal Bayis. Halalu Ovros, Halalu Ba'os, Ve'ein Ketzlehen. This thought pops in, and then that thought pops in, and then this thought pops in. Ubeprad Ba'Bali Meschar. Bali Mischar, those people are involved in business. So you're always, you know, Cheshbening. You can never daven a Shemoneh Esrei. Even if you come to daven and you say, oh, today I have something really to daven for, a good thought pops into my head, guess what happens? You're not strong, you're not a gibor. So how long does it last? Again, lo yagati matzasi, al tamen. It doesn't work like that. Since it wasn't acquired with strength, other thoughts pop in, like a raging river, they drive away, they wash away whatever the good thought was. So the Rebbe says yigia. We think like yigia, like to be amil b'Torah. That means to work hard in understanding a Tosfos or a Rashba. That's also true. But sometimes working hard just means sitting by yourself and trying to can I take control of my bias, my existence, my mind, my heart, my thoughts, my actions. Am I the Baal Bayis of my life? That's a hard question for us to answer. Lachain, third paragraph from the bottom. Hafseik kodem kol tefillah v'avoda v'chashov. So try to pause if you can, before you do any avoda, and say to yourself, Hinini mishanis es masni v'chol kochi hinini miyageya lechazek es ahavasi v'irasi v'es machshavasi ba'Hashem. I am girding my loins, and I am gathering my strength, and I'm going to what? With yagiyah, with effort, and with hard work. I'm going to try to actively concentrate on loving Hashem, of being in awe of Hashem, that my thoughts should be about Hashem. Not thinking about, oh, right after I finish davening, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do the next thing. Atshamayim azidonim shel shetef machshav azroz lo yishtefua. To the point that what? That these destructive waters will no longer rage through your mind. They won't have a place there. Divert those waters. Va'akulan ba'ashem eschazeku ve'lokai eskaber. Below Yagia, he says, five lines from the bottom, E efshar lagia l'shum davar. There is nothing in life that you will ever achieve that's of any lasting quality without effort. Uvi Yagia, efshar lagia elakol. And with enough care and enough effort, with a concerted effort, a person can attain anything. That's amazing that the Pesach Zog would say such a thing to us. Nothing will ever be worthwhile in your life if you're not working at it. And if you work at it, there's nothing that you can't do. Doesn't mean you have to be the greatest ever, but you can have success. Aval hevi mistagel limshol al machshavascha. But try to what? Try mistagel means to adjust and to adapt the way that you take control of your thinking. I mean, most of us aren't. We don't even have a havamina to be the bala bias of our thoughts. I would say most of us in some way, shape, or form are working on being the Baal Bias of our actions. No? Yeah, that's a fair assessment. There's things that I do that I don't want to do, and I'm working on that. Okay, whether I have a clear game plan to work on that, or whether I'm just kind of like, you know, fighting it, little battles, skirmishes on the side, okay. But if you asked me, like, what is something you're doing that you don't want to be doing, you could probably answer that. And if I asked you, you know, are you trying to work on it? Yes, I am trying to work on it. How are you working on it? Okay, you know, maybe I could be a little more thoughtful about it. I could be a little more strategic about it, right? But in terms of our thoughts, how many of us are working on being in control of our thoughts? How many of us even know what's passing through our head over the course of a day? Could I sit down at the end of the day and try to map out on any level the number of ideas and thoughts and places and people and things that cross through my mind in a single day? So he says, we need to adapt our thinking. Mistagel limshol. We need to change the way that we choose to dominate our thoughts. Ashlot istarich la betfila va'avoda. Yeshan harbi machshavos she'oiv adam lachshav asan ulahasmi behen lo lishum tachlis vachstam l'shem tanuk. There are thoughts that sometimes we just, you know, we're just like daydreaming about something that's pleasurable, that's enjoyable to us. For example, he says, kigon machshava me'iza simcha. Now you're thinking about a good time. You're going to your friend's wedding. So you're thinking about how fun that's going to be. Or you're thinking how fun that was. You're thinking, wow, I had a great Shabbos, I had such a good time, I hung out with so-and-so. Or, oh, I can't wait till, you know, later this week because I'm doing this or doing that. Right? Haisolo, right? So the simcha that either haisolo or makavela, shetavolo, something good's coming your way, you're thinking about it, you're just kind of closing your eyes and smiling and just enjoying a thought. So look what the Rebbe says. Hischazek be'emsa machshava shel oneg zeh v'aviducha sabal karchu v'rash. See if you can just slam on the brakes. Again, you're not thinking about anything inappropriate. You're thinking about your cousin's wedding. Right? Just try to be aware of the fact that you're thinking about your cousin's wedding and then see, can I slam on the brakes? If I want to stop right now thinking about this, do I have enough control over my mind that I can stop thinking about this? V'chashov machshava charash. Try to immediately replace it, not passively, actively. Actively replace it with something else. Lo lishum davar rakadei lihistaga limshol amachshav asecha gam betfilah v'avoda. Not for any other purpose other than what? To start training yourself. Work, says the Pesach Zog. It's going to take work. You have to acclimate yourself to saying, I could stop a thought on a dime. Or I could plug in a different thought actively, 100%, push out the other thought. That's training, he says. Lolish from Davar. Again, you're not trying to replace an improper thought, but you're just trying to, again, to adjust your attitude towards your own brain and your own thinking. He says in the fourth line, Zachor al tishkach shetamid lo titapel b'dichios machshavos lo tovos bovad. It's not enough to constantly be working on what? Pushing bad thoughts out of our head. That much, again, I think most of us on some level probably do. There's times when we're just, you know, we're thinking about things for too long and not even realizing it. But there's time when you're, you know, you're thinking about something, you know you shouldn't be thinking about it, and you're saying, stop thinking about that. So that's good, but he says that's not the whole story. You're not going to get so much out of just pushing away negative thoughts. See if you can meditate on a positive thing for a period of time. Remember the example he taught that guy who had access to the Rebbe in 1935, 1936? To stare at the small hand of a clock, to try to just you know, lock in with that, right? To try to focus on something. It could be a neutral thing, but to practice your focusing skills. And then automatically, if I'm filling my brain with positive thoughts, if I'm attaching my mind actively to positive things, then automatically the negative will disappear. Because you can't really get rid of the darkness unless you replace it with light. Okay? One more meditation. Look at this next paragraph. And if I'm not mistaken, this is in the Sefer Chovas HaTalmidim as well. If it's hard for you, he says in the third paragraph on page 2, if it's hard for you to what? To have kavana, to be in control of your mind. And if you find that your mind again is very mubulbal during davening, you can't get kavana. Here's a picture that you can work on. And the Rebbe again was a master of using, the way that many of the Balei Musar did as well, to use imagery, to use pictures, to meditate upon experiences, some that maybe you've had or some that you're going to create in your mind's eye, in order to strengthen yourself. Asayer b'dimyoncha. Picture in your mind. Imagine Hashem is standing on the other side of a large group of people. And those people are trying to prevent you from having access to God or to the King, whatever the image you want to be. Something really, really worthwhile. And now picture yourself pushing through that crowd to get to God or to whatever it is, your beloved, to get to something very important to you on the other side of that crowd. V'gam b'pa'al mamish. And to feel that, not just to think about it, but that your body feels like you're pushing through the crowd. Ki'ish ha'dochek az atzmo. Havim ma'amis az gufcha yivarecha v'gidecha. You should feel that I'm pushing here, I'm working on something. I'm trying to get close to Hashem. Of course, there's no such thing as getting close to Hashem. You are close to Hashem. Right? But you're not in control of yourself. So you're creating a mental image to push yourself towards Hashem. Afes panecha kavatz v'chashov. Derech kula mel Hashem. B'chazak el Hashem. You should crease your brow. You should have a look of like a person who's pushing through a large crowd. Right? Or pushing through some obstacle. And to say to yourself, I'm going to Hashem, I'm pushing through to Hashem. You don't want to schlep the body along with the brain too much, or the brain along with the body too much. Right? But if you're really experiencing it, then very naturally you'll feel that you're there. Your mind will be there. Your body will be there. Right? It shouldn't be that you're like telling your body. But if you could picture it in a real way, you'll feel it. Your body will automatically respond. Rav gufcha yischazek. And you'll feel yourself drawing close. It's a very chashuv image, right? I think does he have this in Chovas HaTalmidim? Anyone know? I think he paints this picture in Chovas HaTalmidim, and I think he makes it even more intense. Like they're trying, like the bad guys are trying to tackle you, you know, and you're just trying to race to the goal line and jump into Hashem's arms. And these forces are blocking you and pulling you down. You're fighting, you're pushing back. So when you meditate upon that for 30 seconds before you daven, that goes a long way. If you do that, you know, for a couple seconds, right, before you start a bracha in Shemoneh Esrei, that this next bracha, I'm gonna fight for this bracha. I'm gonna be a gibor. Okay, that's a different Shemoneh Esrei. Doesn't take a lot of time. But again, it takes a desire to believe that I can do it, and then to just do it. Famous story, someone came to the... Turn to page 3. Someone came to the Maggid of Mezrich. There's two different nuschaos of this story. Some Svarim put them together. Some Svarim just tell it with a different nusach. But there was a famous doctor who was a doctor of the Magid of Mezrich, who had a foot problem, who the doctor became frum, and became a chassid. Dr. Aaron Gridaya, I think was his name. He became a chassid of the Magid. So he once said to the Magid, again, there's two different versions of the story, so I'll tell you both. One version is he came to the Magid and he said to the Magid, from the times that I wasn't frum, my mind is still filled with all sorts of images and thoughts and things that I did in the past. And I find it very, very hard to daven. So what should I do? So he gave him a mashal. This is one nusach. He gave him a mashal. He said, I'll tell you a mashal. He said, imagine a guy who owned a bar, a tavern. Yeah? A kretschmer somewhere along the forest, and people were traveling, and they'd stop off, and the chevra would come in, and they'd get a bunch of drinks and something to eat. Right? He owned this inn. And the chevra, when they would come, it was rowdy, it was wild, it was pretty labadick over there. He says, so now imagine if he decided to close his business. So the chevra is traveling through the forest once again, and they come to his building, which was formerly his little tavern, and they say, we want something to drink. Right? We'd like to order some drinks. So he says, there are no drinks here. They say, what do you mean there's no drinks here? What do you mean? We've been here before. We know there are drinks here. He says, I don't do that anymore. That business is closed. This is not a tavern anymore. You think that you'll say, oh, but I remember this once. Yeah, it was once a tavern. This is not a tavern anymore. You're not going to find it here. So he says, you have to say the same thing to your Yetzirah. You have to say to your Yetzirah, that business is closed. It's not like I still have, some inventory in the basement and like, if you convince me, we'll open up again. Like, it literally doesn't exist here anymore. So everything you think is here, it's not here anymore. So to be able to say that with confidence, the Yetzirah is a very chashuv thing. The other nusach is that a chassid came, some again say it was this doctor who became a chassid of the Magid, came to the Magid, and said, again, I'm struggling to control my machshavos. So he said, I want you to travel to Zhytomyr, to Rav Zev Wolf, to the Or HaMeir. So he goes to Rav Zev Wolf, he gets there late at night, and he comes to his home, and he sees he's sitting, in the window he sees he's sitting, he's learning by candlelight, and he knocks on the door, no answer. He looks through the window, he's knocking on the window, he knows he can hear him, he's not even looking up. He's standing outside, it's a cold night, it's starting to snow a little bit, he's trying to figure out, how am I going to get it? He's banging on the door. Right? Finally, he has no choice, he can't get inside the house. He lies down on the doorstep, he covers himself with his jacket, his coat. Right? The next morning, Rav Zev Wolf opens the door and he says, oh, what are you doing sleeping on my doorstep? Why didn't you come in last night? So he's so angry, he's screaming at him, he says, are you joking? I was banging like crazy on the door. I was knocking on the window right opposite where you were sitting. You're going to tell me you didn't hear me? So he said, that's what the Magid wanted to teach you. He said, I'm the Baal HaBayis, I decide who comes in. I'm the Baal HaBayis. If I'm not interested in hearing, I don't have to hear. If I don't want to let you in, I don't have to let you in. Now, this story is told in many places. One place that it's told is in the Sefer that you have in front of you, Sichus Mavodas Hashem. You don't have the story in front of you, but he has a beautiful Hosafa that I just want to share with you outside. Rav Meislish in the Sichus Mavodas Hashem has a beautiful Hosafa. He says, what happens if someone's banging on the door? Let's go back to the tavern mashal. If those thugs want to break in, right? If there really is, some booze inside, they'll break down the door, they'll get the booze. That's if they're really strong. But what if the person who's knocking on the door, right, can only knock so much because he's old? Then I'm really in charge. Then I decide. The only way he's getting in is if I open the door. Again, it could be someone shows up at my door and they'll bang and bang and bang. And if I don't open, they're going to break their way in. But if they're old and weak, right, if that's be'etzem who they are, even if they knock and knock and knock, I know I'm safe inside because they can't. They don't have the strength to break down the door. So he says that could be how we should look at the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is referred to in Koheles and expounded upon in Koheles Rabbah as a Zakin. He's a Zakin. Now why the Yetzirah is called the Zakin could mean a lot of different things. But Meisler says he's a Zakin. That's Hashem's way of saying to you, he's going to might be knocking on the door all night. Right? But he cannot break that door. It's only when you let him in that he gets in. And that's what this chassid learned from the Or HaMeir. I'm the Baal HaBayis here. I decide who comes in and who doesn't come in. Okay? I want to just end with two points from Rabbi. Let's take a look on page 3 and 4 very quickly. On page 3, just one quick ha'ara. It's an important yisod. In the Divrei Yecheskel, you can see by the arrow, on page 3. He quotes from the Divrei Yecheskel. The Divrei Yecheskel is the Shinover. Rav Yecheskel Shraga Halberstam, the son of the Divrei Chaim. And he gives an unbelievable etza, he says, to fight off the Yetzirah. He says, how did Yosef defeat Eishes Potiphar? One word, Vayima'ein. And he refused. What does it mean, Vayima'ein? Look what he describes here very quickly, because it's late. Uvechei nosan lanu harav ha-kadosh mishinuva b'sefer divrei Yecheskel parshas vayeshev eitza nifla ma'od al zeh. Great piece of advice. V'tochein dvarav hu. Dinei ksiv esel Yosef ha-tzadik. Be'esh shabai la v'yitzahara v'nisa liftoso lachshilo b'nyani kedusha. When Yosef was fighting against a woman who was really working hard to get him to sin. That she wanted him to sin. Afilu b'machshava zara levad. She wanted him to even just have thoughts about her. And Yosef was putting up a fight. Mamash was putting up a fight. He didn't want to look at her. He didn't want to think about her. V'yosef kishara she'etzahara kol kachazak. Negdo. V'ein lo etzo manus v'menu. When Yosef realized that there's no other option to deal with such a Yetzirah, so me'al-asasa, what did he do? Gila lanu ha-Torah kadosha ki asa etza neflam od. U'mahi ha-etza v'yima'ein. What does v'yima'ein mean? He refused. But what does that mean? Explains the Shinover, Bir Adavar, ki Yosef Haven, shem yichanes im ha-Yetzirah b'vikuchim u'v'nesinas tam. If you start to negotiate with the Yetzirah, if you start to discuss with the Yetzirah, if the Yetzirah says, well, here's why it's not such a big of a error, and you're like, well, you know, I remember I once heard a shir on this, and they said, yeah, it's kind of a big of a error, but once you start negotiating, for sure you're going to lose. He's going to wear you down over time. Right? Well, you know, this website's like not the most inappropriate website. I'm not going to look at an inappropriate website. I'm just going to look at this. It's, you know, it's not such an inappropriate movie, and like I need to have a little relaxation in my life anyway, so this is, you know. And eventually, he wears you down to the point that you're totally wrapped in his arms, the way that Eishes Potiphar wanted Yosef. Yeah? So therefore, the advice is what? To say, no, Vayima'ein, I refuse. Well, can we just talk about it? No, nothing to talk about. Wait, I have some explanations. No, Vayima'ein. No conversation. Vayima'ein means just a cold refusal. No negotiations, no conversations. And he says that's why there's a shalsheles on the word, the trup, shalsheles on Vayima'ein. Right? Just a strong Vayima'ein. Different. Some sfarim say the Vayima'ein has a shalsheles, he's kind of wavering. Right? He's not sure, he's figuring it out. But other sfarim say, no, the Vayima'ein is that, the shalsheles is that, no. She says, oh, but what about, no, Vayima'ein. What about it? No, Vayima'ein. What about it? No, Vayima'ein. Right? Chazaka that we're not talking about this. Vayima'ein. He refused. We're not going to discuss this. Because I know the second I start to negotiate with you, the second that I don't approach you like a gibor, I'm going to get killed. Turn to the last page. He quotes a lashon from the Tanya. Take a look. Where it's bolded. Where it's sort of highlighted. The Tanya writes in Parachav Ches, Shezos atzasso bevadei shelo lahashiv lo mitov ad ra. Don't respond. When the Yetzirah is trying to reel you in, my advice is don't even engage in conversation. Make yourself like what? Like someone who's deaf. I don't even hear what you're saying. It doesn't even register. I'm not even going to let the idea register, because if it registers, then what? Then I'm already attached to you. I'm already connected to you. Like it says in Mishlei, Al ta'an ksil b'ival to. Don't respond to the fool in his foolishness, because even by responding to him, you have a kesher to him. It says Shlomo Melech, pen tishve lo gam ata, because then maybe you'll be acquainted with him. You're the type of person who talks to him. He's not worth your time. Vayima'ein. Says the Baal Tanya, you don't even get involved with him. Kach al yashuv mu'uma, v'shum tainu umana neged ha-machshav azara. Don't even deal with it. Right? I mean, don't even grapple with it. Just throw it out. Gvura. Replace it. Push it out. Nothing to talk about here. Okay? Take a look at the next paragraph from the Divrei Shmuel. And we'll end with this. The Divrei Shmuel says, on the pasuk in Iyo, mi yitein tar mitame lo echad. Mi yitein tar mitame. Who can distinguish between tar and tame lo echad? Is it not one? Only Hashem knows tame and tar. Only Hashem knows. Right, only Hashem could distinguish on the... We don't have eyes to see Tum and Tar. Hashem knows. So he says, the way to read the pasuk is what? Mi yitein tar mi tamei. What's going to distinguish between tuma and tara, a life of sanctity, and a life of struggle, of being that 75-year-old that the PSS is describing? Lo echad. Lo echad. Sometimes all you need to do is say no once, and say it like you mean it. A really good vayimain might chase off Ashes Potiphar forever. That might win the battle. But if it's always, well, you know, I don't want to insult the Yetzer Hara, so we'll just talk about it a little bit, you know, you're going to lose. Mishnah says in Kalim, the 25th parak, Kol HaKalim Yordin Lidei Tumasim B'machshava. Mishnah says in the 25th chapter, Maseches Kalim, that all Kalim descend into Tumah with Machshava. Depending on one's Kavana, can impact the Tumah and Tara status of things. There's a sefer called Nishmas Tzvi, so he says, Kol HaKalim, you know what the Kalim are? All the different parts of the body are the various Kalim. My eyes, my speech, my ears, my legs, my hands, all the Kalim of my body are dependent upon what? Yordin Lidei Tumah B'machshava. Depends what kind of mind. Who's the Baal HaBayis? If I'm the Baal HaBayis, then I'll be able to protect the Kalim. But if I'm not the Baal HaBayis, if I'm not in control of my Machshava, then I'm for sure going to lose. So Mirtz Hashem, Yishunichlas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. Already Tikkuni Zohar, if I'm not mistaken, says that B'Simcha is Osios Machshava. And the Sfarim talk about that. Others is man, when we seem totally outnumbered by Haman, but we say, what do you mean? We're Klal Yisrael. We're not gonna allow Haman to even pretend he's gonna destroy the Jewish people. It's not Shaykh. I'm in charge. We're the Baal HaBas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Baal HaBas, and we're the miniature Baal HaBas down below. But again, a person has to work on it. The PSSR gave us a bracha. If you work on it, you're guaranteed to achieve. And if you don't work on it, then God forbid, unfortunately, the harsh reality will set in. So Mirtz Hashem, we should all be very strong, and we should be victorious over this very difficult Yetzer Hara.